Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
What if everything we thought we knew about the Idaho student murder still left out the most disturbing parts? You've heard about the knife, the DNA, the sheath, the phone pings. But behind and buried in the newly unsealed documents is a mosaic of detail that finally shows us the scene for what it really was. Chaotic, unplanned, and far more violent than we were led to believe. In this segment, we're peeling back the curtain with someone who knows how to read between the redactions, retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer. She spent decades in federal law enforcement analyzing violent offenders. But even for her, this one is different. The case of Brian Koberger is unraveling in real time, and these reports are throwing curveballs nobody saw coming. We now know that Dylan Mortensen heard something, that you may have seen Koberger exiting the scene, holding something in his hand. That Kaylee Gonzalez's injuries were more horrific than initially understood, and that there may have been a second weapon involved. That detail alone should raise every eyebrow in the room. And yet somehow law enforcement seems as puzzled as the rest of us. Even Jennifer Coffendaffer points out that for all the man hours, the airtight warrants and the digital forensics, we still don't know exactly what Koberger was holding in his hand when he left the house. A knife sharpener? A vacuum hose? A change of clothes bag? A second weapon? Maybe. And maybe something even worse. We also delve into the psychological shifts that followed, how Koberger carried himself afterwards, how fantasy collided with reality, and whether he walked away from that crime scene feeling elated, shattered, or both. Because here's the thing. Everyone wants to know why. But before we get there, we have to ask something much simpler and much darker. What exactly happened inside that house? Jennifer, you've been through hundreds of case files in your career. What do these new details from the officer's report tell you about the real story behind that night?
Well, you know, Tony, it's so interesting, I think, to all of us who followed it from November 13th, 2022, to finally put a lot of these pieces together. One of the documents that came out that I really think provides very interesting information is from one of the first police officers that went into that scene. That police report particularly details more of Dylan Mortensen's what she saw. And so for the first time, we're getting to hear as an example that she believes Kaylee Casalvas descended the stairs and was screaming. And in fact, thought she might have been the one laying in Zanna's room. This is all information that we did not know before and is very interesting. She also talks about how she saw a 6-foot man, according to this police officer, exit and had something in his hand. I do not see any particular description, but we now know it's Dylan that saw that. For a long time, people were speculating it was Bethany. And it isn't described very well, other than something in his hand, as she says he exited the slider and left the door open. So all of these are really just details that we didn't know before. This officer also describes the bloody legs of Ethan Chapin, of course, which another report had come out, mentioning the fact that his legs had been mutilated. Some of these details as to what happened in the house.
Yeah. And that's so disturbing. I mean, just to hear, and I don't want to, sit and simmer on the disgusting details of what Koberger did. The thing that she was they alleged she was holding. We heard reports on that earlier, and it was originally talked about as being described as like a vacuum hose or something of that nature. Do you remember that? That was several months ago, while this was still in leading up to trial. I'm wondering what that might have been. Is there any speculation on what he might have had with him? Was it something to maybe do cleanup of some sort on this destructive scene that he caused?
Well, there have been too many, possibilities described, so to speak. And I'm really waiting on bated breath to see if we can have more of an indication of what he really had in his hand. Mm-hmm. It's confusing. Some people say, there was a knife sheath or a knife sharpener, sharpener. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. A vacuum doesn't make a lot of sense to me. What makes a lot of sense to me is some sort of bag that would have held his bloody clothing as he left in a change of clothes or taken out the outer layer. That makes a lot of sense, but I'm sort of waiting for more details to come out, as I think they will when we get to see Dylan Mortensen's next interviews. She would have been interviewed many times, and there's going to be a lot of debriefs.
It's interesting because the knife sharpener itself is interesting because I believe it comes with the kit that he purchased. And I'm going to bring it up here on the screen real quick so we can all see it. This is what the knife sharpener looks like for a K-bar knife. I could see someone seeing that thing going and saying, that looks like a vacuum hose. I mean, if you don't know what it is, I would maybe guess it's a vacuum attachment of some sort. But it does appear to be kind of a bulky object. We'll never really know for sure exactly what that was. And nor does it necessarily matter all that much right now. But it does kind of make you wonder what exactly that was. If he went in knowing he may need to resharpen his knife. I mean, that's another interesting part of all this, because we speculate and we wonder, did he go in there knowing that there was going to be four people that he was going to be taking out? Or was all of that a very inconvenient surprise to him if he just had one of them in mind to attack?
I really believe it was very inconvenient, very unexpected. I think he was, ready in case he would have been interrupted. But I think he believed that these guys all went out, they were drunk, inebriated, they got home at 2 a.m, and that they would be crashed out like normally on a Saturday night. And he would be able to go into the room of Maddie Mogan and do what he had planned to do against her. And then there Kaylee was, and of course, Zanna was up. And so often these individuals have these sort of you know, delusions in terms of how everything's going to go. Their fantasy is one thing, and then how it all plays out is another, which I do believe is a big reason why he left and left Dylan Mortensen. In this police report, I believe Dylan says that she thinks he saw her. So I think that was another detail, you know, the first time for us to know that at least she believed he saw her.
And it was more of a, I got to get out of here because this has already gone so far awry, and not continue to push his luck, I guess, of no one stopping him, or I don't know. I mean, it is shocking that it went as far as it did. Do you think that really threw him for a loop afterwards? The fact that he may have gone in initially just wanting to target one person, and then at the end of the day, he's murdered four people, and he wanted to go back to live his life. He did go back to live his life for a brief period of time, teaching and all of that. But he was described as being very different, more distant than he had been in the past, more even laid back, some even said, than he had been in terms of grading and such. Was this something that really pushed this killer's psyche to a different place that maybe he was not expecting it to go after walking out of that horror scene?
Well, Tony, it's such a great question. And I think that the proof is in the pudding, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that photo after the crime, that morning in front of the shower with the white button-up shirt and that smile and that, you know, selfie that he made, to me, he was so happy and so pleased with how everything went. I think the fact that, of course, he wasn't discovered that morning, I think it was, when I look at that, I see somebody who's near elated and wants to, you know, take a photo of this perfect moment. That's how I see it. So while I don't think it came out exactly how he wanted, I think he was happy with what he had done.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I want. Like, did he walk out of there going, oh, I did better than I thought I would in a sick, horrible way, you know, or was that like, oh my God, this really shook him to his core of how wrong it went or could have went for him had he been stopped, if one of the attacks back would have injured him or taken him out as well. But I think you're right. With that adulation in that picture of that thumbs up, he was on a high. He was on one hell of a high after exiting that house. What do we know about the second possible knife that was used?
Well, I don't know if it was a knife or a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it described as a weapon.
Okay.
And it has a pattern that is a some sort of plaid type pattern. So I'm actually in my spare time trying to figure out what that could be that he would have had, because I think it's very interesting. Did he bring another weapon for the purpose of, you know, fighting and mutilating beyond just attacking with a knife? It seems odd to me that would be a plan when you have a K-bar, which is a killing machine. You don't really need anything else. But I find it very interesting. I also find it interesting, was there anything in that room that he took a hold of that left that pattern in Kaylee? But what I find most interesting is that law enforcement doesn't seem to know either.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, out of all these documents that we're starting to pull over and we're starting to see some from Pullman, too, Tony, we're learning that they don't know much more than they've already released. That's the big surprise to me.
That is a big surprise. Basically, what was out was out. There wasn't a lot more that we were going to find out. You said, I want to talk about the pattern that you said that they was on one of the victims. You said almost like a plaid type pattern. So we're talking about a weapon of some sort that would leave that imprint after a strike, or how are they describing this?
Yeah, that's how I'm seeing it. Like a waffle type pattern, you know, with the squares going both ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, What what would he have had that could make that? That could be so many things. It could be anything from a glove pattern.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, it's not the handle of that K-bar. That's what I had thought it could have possibly been, but I don't think that's what it was. And so I just find that whole thing interesting, that there is this second weapon that's been discussed, that it seems law enforcement never figured it out.
Can you see the screen right now?
Yes.
This is the sharpener again. I brought it back up on a white backdrop, and it has these indents on it. It has, if you were to push that into somebody, I mean, it looks like it would leave a line pattern. And if you were to do it multiple times, I could see that leaving a plaid type pattern. I don't know how big the plaid type pattern was, if that would correspond with that. But if what he had in his hand when he was leaving was a sharpener, I could see that having possibly been used as a weapon as well, alongside the knife. If we're trying to look at things he might have had with him, I do wonder about that. What is your thoughts on that?
Well, I will say this, you know, the Bureau, they're very good as mm-hmm. pattern experts. You know, they were the ones that identified the vehicle of Brian Koberger, you know, what kind it was, just really seeing a flash at one point going across that video. But unless the Bureau analyst who's looking at it believes they can say something to a certainty, they mm-hmm. typically won't make a decision, even if they think they might know.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet you anything, law enforcement, at least some, just like with the motive, you know, nobody's really saying, you know, what the motive was mm-hmm. from the law enforcement or prosecution side. But you can bet there's a lot of beliefs out there with the people that were involved, but because they can't 100% say, they're just mm-hmm. not saying, Tony.
Yeah.
That's the wonderful thing about being on this side of the mic, right?
Mm-hmm.
This side of the investigation is we can more freely, as not being current law enforcement, be able to take and look at these different instruments. When I looked, though, at that pattern, and I actually pulled it up, and I don't know if that's what they're describing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite meeting what I'm seeing and how they described it.
Mm-hmm.
But as you said, does it really matter? Well, I can guarantee it matters to the Gonzalez family. They
sure.
want to know every detail. I've also found it very interesting in what they're saying. You know, they're so upset that all these details are coming out just now
mm-hmm.
to the public and to them simultaneously. They felt they should have known it. But then if you look what the Chapins say, they feel like they've been treated so fairly
yeah.
and that they described it all as very transparent.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, I mean, that's the reality of perception. You know, you can have one conversation with one person and give the exact same information and have it with another, and it may be perceived completely different. Even if it's the exact, cause we're all so different in how we're, you know, filtering all of that through us, especially through trauma, because that's going to very much affect how one is going to come out the other side of it. So I can see how that can be dramatically different. That's the thing about evil. It doesn't always leave you with answers. Sometimes it just leaves you with patterns and bruises and a whole lot of forensic question marks. What we're left with after this conversation is unsettling, not just because of what we now know, but because of what we still don't. A possible second weapon, a survivor who believed she was seen, a scene so chaotic it made even trained officers question what exactly they were looking at. And perhaps the most haunting of all, the idea that Koberger didn't just survive the crime, he may have walked away from it proud. It's not just chilling. It's instructional. Because it reminds us that when people like this fantasize about violence, they don't always expect to fail. Sometimes they expect to succeed. And in his mind, he might have thought he did. Jennifer laid it out clearly. Fantasies don't prepare you for reality. And the moment things spiraled out of control, he had a choice. Fight through it or flee. What did he choose? Well, he fought through it for a while. Then he chose to left. Fast. which in his own way tells us everything we need to know about how fragile his plan really was. And yet the knife sharpener, the strange pattern on Kaylee's body, the object in his hand, all still unanswered. It's maddening, not just for us, but for the families, because if law enforcement doesn't know what caused those marks and the killer won't talk, then those final images are stuck in the realm of speculation. That's not closure. That's torment with a badge on it. We also touched on something easy to miss, how trauma distorts perception, why two families can walk away from the same set of facts and feel completely different about what's fair, what's just, and what we're owed. One calls it transparency, another calls it betrayal. And you know what? They're both probably right, because grief doesn't play by the rules of disclosure, schedules, and gag orders. What the case shows us again is that even with all our technology, all our surveillance, all of our profiling, some truths just don't surface cleanly. And in that vacuum, people are left trying to build meaning out of bloodstains, timelines, and shadows. Tell me what you think in the comment section of YouTube. If you're not there already, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi to find us there. You do that same search on any podcast platform and find us there so you can take us with you on the go. Please let us know what your thoughts are and press subscribe so you don't miss any of our coverage on this case and the many that we cover for you right here. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.